W228EP Eau Claire. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report, the New Hampshire primary.
Donald Trump's second straight victory puts him a step closer to clinching the Republican nomination. But it's not stopping Nikki Haley from prepping for the next round in her home state.
When we get to South Carolina, Donald Trump's going to have a harder time falsely attacking me.
Former candidate Senator Tim Scott stood on the stage with Mr. Trump as he delivered his victory speech. He tells CBS,
"The results speak for themselves. It wasn't just simply Iowa or New Hampshire. The numbers in South Carolina are even worse for Nikki."
She got a little more than 43% of the vote in New Hampshire to Mr. Trump's 54. American University political analyst Amy Dacey.
It's imperative she makes the case that she is the alternative not only to Trump, and as she says, you know, the distractions and the chaos that comes with it, but that she's best positioned to win in a general election.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is declaring 2024 the year of the worker. He used his State of the State speech last night to invite ideas to boost child care and public education and paid family leave.
Let's hear it. I will work with any legislator, any partner, any stakeholder who's willing to engage in meaningful conversations on these issues to do the right thing for Wisconsin.
Evers also says he'll make over-the-counter contraceptives free to people on Badger Care Plus. The state of Wisconsin issued more than 60,000 initial professional licenses last year. That's a 38% increase over 2022. The head of the Department of Safety and Professional Services says the average review time for new licenses is down to less than 4 days. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Eau Claire City Council unanimously passed a resolution in support of the relocation of refugees to the Chippewa Valley. The move comes in the wake of an attempt by the Eau Claire and Chippewa County boards to pause the resettlement of 75 refugees to the region in 2024. The City Council will not play a role in the resettlement process, which is run by an organization called World Relief, but City Council member Josh Miller said he felt compelled to present the resolution to show that the project has broad support. Criminal charges have been filed against a second man who was allegedly involved in a violent burglary in Barron County. According to court records, charges were filed against 40-year-old Ricardo Antonio Dominguez, and a warrant for his arrest was issued. Charges were filed against the other man, 33-year-old Ryan Charpentier, earlier this month after he was arrested. The charges stem from accusations that the men assaulted a 70-year-old man in Barron County in December and stole nearly $14,000. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Earl Ingram.
Sandy, people are talking about influencers. I don't see too many septuagenarians or octogenarian influencers.
They're a lot. We're trying. Radio shows like this are our efforts to be influencers, I suppose.
Yeah.
I
mean, we can possibly be influencers.
Well, maybe. I don't
know. Calvin's laughing.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Bucks need a coach. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After firing their head coach, Adrian Griffin, just 43 games into the season, the Milwaukee Bucks are looking for his replacement. It's the third shortest tenure in the history of the NBA. Analyst Tony Smith.
You know, you got to look at what the Bucks represent. They think they're a championship caliber team, and they're not going to stand for anything less than that. So when they look out on the floor, yeah, the record is 30-13. They're second in the East, but the looks of the team did not fit what management really wanted.
Baseball. The Brewers signed Phillies first baseman Rhys Hoskins to a two-year deal worth $34 million with a one-year option. Hoskins sat out last year after suffering a torn ACL in spring training. College basketball last night, the Badgers held on to beat the Gophers 61-59. The Badgers' A.J. Storr drawing a technical for hanging on the rim after a dunk shot.
I didn't know hanging on the rim and trying to dunk the ball was a Class B technical. I've never been in that position myself. I can't hang on the rim, let alone try to dunk it.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Mild temperatures over the current snowpack is creating widespread fog, dense at times, reducing visibility to less than a mile. Patchy freezing drizzle or mist is possible and returns again tonight. Slippery stretches are likely as the chances of freezing rain and rain ramp up into tomorrow. Currently, it's 31 degrees.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On 93.5, The Tap.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap.
Matinair on air. So happy to have you along with us this morning. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calviente on the board. Coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Very, very busy show coming up for you today. We have some big sports news we're going to start off with a little bit later on. We're going to be talking, and I really would love to hear from you. If you are a member of the NRA, the National Rifle Association, I know a lot of people were. Mm-hmm. It seems to be a much different organization now than it was in its inception. And there's a big trial going on with the NRA right now and some interesting details coming out about that. But I would love to know, if you are still a member of the NRA, if you are not, especially if you're not anymore, what was it that you lost your love and feeling? What was it? What was it that changed your attitude? When did the NRA change? I guess is the bigger question. When did the NRA change? If it did. So that's coming up at 10:30. And then at 11:06, very excited to have a woman I've known for a very long time, Jenny Deliberti. From the Milwaukee County Zoo is going to be here.
Her name is Birdie, Della Birdie.
Della Birdie.
Oh my gosh, you just cannot stay away from birds.
It's becoming a pattern in my life.
It is.
Speaking of birds, penguins.
Penguins.
Penguins are making a big appearance this year on Groundhog Day.
Oh boy.
I know. So we're going to talk about the influence of the penguin lobby and what's going on with that and all other things about the great Milwaukee County Zoo. So please stay with us. As we mentioned, some real big sports news.
Yeah.
Green Bay Packers coach Matt LaFleur, according to the NFL Network, firing defensive coordinator Joe Barry.
I can't say I was shocked. Of course, you're not shocked because of all the hubbub like four or five weeks ago.
Calling for his head.
With the winning and the energy, I was like, oh, maybe he bought himself one more season, but No. Goodbye.
Yeah, he is out. There were the first 15 games of the season. Packers ranked 23rd in yards allowed, tied for 17th in points allowed, tied for 24th in takeaways. Also, the final four games, Packers allowed just under 19 points with 14 sacks. But it wasn't enough. Joe Barry out. This should, again, a lot of people were calling for his head.
I mean, that's the thing is, can you do better? I mean, really, in clutch situations, that kind of pressure. Oh, get him out of here. All right, cool. You do it.
But it will be interesting to see, and we've talked about this before. It does seem like these guys, it doesn't matter if you have a failing record, someone else will pick you up.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And from what I understand, Joe Barry has failed his way up. So
sure sounds like
he probably
it.
Will be like, the head coach of, well, no, Mike McCarthy's staying with the Cowboys, so it doesn't matter. But yeah, it's they'll be fine.
They will be fine. Who they're going to replace him with remains to be seen. We don't know at this point. We do, however, know.
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, jeez. Wouldn't that be something? No, I don't think it's going to be AR. The folks who do know who their new head coach is going to be are the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
Announcing today that Doc Rivers has accepted an offer from the Bucks to be their next coach.
The legend.
The legendary Doc Rivers. Yep. They fired first-year head coach Adrian Griffin earlier on Tuesday after 43 games and said that they were going to work immediately to hire their next coach. So this came pretty quickly.
Yeah.
One, it kind of leads you to believe that this must have been in the works.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yes, absolutely. On the Bucks side, here's the thing I don't understand. I don't get it. The Bucks were not losing. I understand their defense wasn't the best. In fact, it was some of the worst in the league.
From where they were then where they ended up as far as defense, yes, it was not good.
But why, and feel, please call us 844-967-2789. Let me know why firing this brand new coach, he's pretty new, like is his first season?
I believe so.
Mid-season, brand new coach was the way to do it instead of trying to maybe finding another player who has a better defensive record. Because that was the whole thing, is Drew Holiday left or was booted.
Right.
And you're like, well, there goes our defense. Okay, so why not get another defensive player in? Like, to me, firing the head coach is like hitting the nuclear option. And the fact, like you said, the fact that he was fired or announced fired yesterday, and before we got on air, we just find out that Doc Rivers is the new coach today.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how much Adrian knew.
We will never know.
Yeah, it's true.
We will never know. Yeah. It will be interesting to see how Doc Rivers will fit into this whole puzzle for the rest of the season and take the Bucks through the rest of the season. So we certainly wish them all well.
Yeah.
But that was the breaking news this morning. And I'm sure tomorrow when J.R. Radcliffe joins us at 11:30, he's a sports reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, he will have opinions on these decisions. I'm sure he will. Yes. So also we wanted to do a little recap of Governor Tony Evers' sixth State of the State address, which was last night. And we were talking yesterday about what he would declare the year of 2024 to be. 2023, he said his focus was going to be on mental health. Mm-hmm. This year, he said 2024 is the year of the worker in Wisconsin. Kelvin, do we have that clip?
Last year, Wisconsin had an all-time lowest number of unemployed workers ever in modern history. And our state's labor force participation rate also consistently remained above the national average throughout the year. So it's time we get rid of that old talking point that Wisconsinites aren't working or working hard. Wisconsinites work hard, and they are working. From my vantage point, three things are key to addressing our state's workforce challenges. First, we must find a long-term solution to our state's looming child care crisis. Second, we must expand paid family leave. And third, we must invest in public education at every level, early childhood to our technical colleges and universities. Without continued investments in child care counts, our workforce will suffer mightily. 2,110 child care programs are projected to close. 87,000 kids could be without child care. We could lose over 4,880 child care jobs. That's about $500 million of economic impact on our state.
Governor Tony Evers last night from his sixth State of the State address. Governor Evers also said, I will never expect Republicans and Democrats in this building to agree with each other, or me for that matter, on the merits of every policy 100% of the time. That's democracy. But there's no excuse for not being willing to work together on what everyone agrees is the most pressing issue in our state.
Yep. And a couple of Republicans, senators, threw in their two cents on the tweeters. Now, one senator said, there's no talk about relief for the middle class. And then another senator said, this $4 billion surplus needs to be sent back to the people. So that's their new thing now. That's their new way they're going to ride, is trying to get, at least in my opinion, trying to get this surplus that we have that could go for a lot of things like childcare.
Yes.
In the form of checks back to the parents or to the people, which has worked so spectacularly in the past. I remember that one time I got, oh no, I never got it because I wasn't a homeowner. And that other time, nope, I wasn't a parent. So didn't get anything either. So yeah, that really works well when you want to suck up to the people by sending them a check for anywhere between $13 to $100.
Well, and at least from what I've seen, the tax cut proposals that they're making, of course, the highest earners are going to get the biggest tax cut.
Yeah. And then they'll explode they'll erase the surplus, and then we'll be right back where we started from, and they'll be able to campaign saying that Tony Evers ruined Wisconsin.
The government failed.
Yep.
The government failed. Also, in his address last night, the governor said he will direct the State Department of Health Services to make contraception and emergency contraception available for people using Badger Care Plus by allowing women to get these meds without a script and at no out-of-pocket cost. Governor Evers also urging lawmakers to approve a bipartisan measure that would expand postpartum eligibility for Medicaid coverage from 60 days to 1 year. We've talked to Dr. Lyerly about this. We've talked to numerous people about this. This is a bipartisan measure, and you know why it's not moving forward?
Was he just staring at Robin Voss while he said it?
He should have been.
Yeah.
Well, he couldn't because Robin Voss was sitting behind him.
Oh, that's true.
But yeah, it's Robin Voss. Robin Voss is the one who is preventing this from moving forward, even though it has lots of bipartisan support. And even though maternal mortality rates in Wisconsin continue to rise.
Yeah. So again, if you're not a fan of Tony Evers, just so you know, this is passed in the Senate. The Republicans in the Assembly said they will pass this with ease. Pro-life, pro-choice are in agreement on this.
Everybody agrees on this.
Everybody agrees on this. Every single group you think you would throw into the mix and say, oh my gosh, they must be. No, everyone's like, yes, of course. Let's take care of the mom too. And the only reason why is a popcorn-shaped bump in the road that just seems to get this legislation stopped up. And it, to me, is, honestly, it's shameful. I'm tired of it. It's shameful to me that he would do this.
Well, and I think a lot of people feel that it's shameful. Yeah. And I think a lot of people, that's why, again, the turnout to get Justice Janet Protasiewicz on the Wisconsin Supreme Court was so massive.
Yeah.
Because Wisconsinites are fed up with exactly this kind of behavior, where yeah. one person can stop legislation from moving forward that everybody else agrees on. All these disparate groups can actually agree on this. And one guy, because it's his state and his money, and we're just
living in it.
We're just lucky we get to live here.
Andrew from Maine just sent a text, and this is actually would have been a good idea. Would have been bad form for Governor Evers to turn around and stare down Voss as talking about the bill. Yeah, actually, that's great. Just he's like, we need to make sure that all the women are taken care of. Just slowly turning, and then Oplander eyes start forming, just red dots. I believe in that. I believe in Oplander.
I know you do.
Yeah.
If you ever want to join us, like Andrew from Maine, you can call, you can text, leave a message on the live stream, 844-967-2789. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap, The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Luke Mathers, it's time for Tuesday Tangents with Lukester.
Everybody announced yesterday, schools are closed tomorrow. I feel like a boomer almost here, Todd, where I'm like, back in my day, we never got a snow day in advance.
I remember sitting patiently, like cross-legged in front of the television set, just waiting for the little ticker to scroll by. And if you missed it alphabetically, you had to sit there even longer.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on
on the app. The Todd Alma Show.
The immigration challenge in this country, as Jorge Ramos, the great author, likes to say, you can build as many and high walls and deep walls as you possibly want. But until you start addressing the problem within countries, people will keep coming. For all of our faults, people still look at America as that shining city on a hill and want to come here, and I believe that makes us stronger.
The Todd Alma Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Sweet Kelsey on the board, coming to you live from her studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Give us a call. Shoot us a text at 844-967-2789 or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Just a reminder to download the Civic Media app.
Why?
It's a wonderful app.
Why?
It's free.
Whoa.
It probably won't change the course of your entire life, Greg, but it shouldn't make it worse.
That's true. And if you download the app and you get on the app, you hit text, you text our show.
Instantaneously.
Instantaneous comes right to us. You can suggest more nicknames for Calvin.
Among many other things.
I feel like, have you exhausted that entire list now?
We're riffing on the list that Johnny Watermelon gave me.
Okay, cool. I just want to make sure.
There's lots of potential for nicknames for Calvin.
Yeah, I know.
It's an open, free form kind of thing.
It's the truest of democracies. Even in our Democratic Republic of America, we are a true democracy on this show as far as what Calvin's nickname will be.
When all suggestions are welcome.
Yes.
As long as they're clean.
We gotta keep it clean. And respectful.
Yes. We want to follow up just on a little bit. We started off the show with the breaking news that the Milwaukee Bucks have hired Doc Rivers now as their head coach.
Yeah.
After Adrian Griffin was fired, and this just happened yesterday. But texter from the 262 says, Greg is assuming that Griffin's firing is only the stuff on the surface. Seems to me like there's more going on besides on the court, particularly taking into account the sudden resignation of the assistant coach last year. I get the sense it's both about the on-court performance and behind-closed-door stuff.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, that assistant coach who resigned like right before the season started, that I believe they came with Damian Lillard, and it was not a good fit. And I mean, that's the thing is, you got a new coach, you got a new high-profile player like that,
right?
When I'm not comparing Giannis to Jordan. I'm just saying, when you have like that kind of team up, like a Pippen and Jordan, those are delicate waters to move within. You got to make sure everyone is pleased. Everybody's is okay.
Happy. Yeah.
And if at the first stop, one of the assistant coaches isn't working, they did the right thing. They resigned. Now, as far as Adrian, I don't disagree with you, Texter, but I guess, as you said, Jane, we'll probably never really know unless
somebody writes a book.
Exactly. Which I don't think they will.
Seems unlikely.
Yeah.
But we'll get more insight tomorrow when J.R. Radcliffe joins us at 11:30. So, an update on shenanigans.
Shenanigans update.
We had Dan Schaefer here yesterday from the Recombobulation area, which I highly recommend that you subscribe to.
Absolutely.
It's award-winning. He does incredible, incredible reporting and breaking down, especially on maps and all those kinds of
things. It's affordable.
It is very affordable. Yeah. So check out Dan Schaefer's Recombobulation area. But yesterday, Republican state senators introduced and passed a new voting map that they say is going to fix everything.
Pack it up, guys. We're good.
We're done.
Good job. Civic Media, we did our job. Let's go home.
Just take this one and pass it, and we're good to go.
Yep.
Republican Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahue amended the bill that was Governor Evers' measure to strip out its original language and put in with new maps that he says are based on the ones Governor Evers submitted to the Supreme Court as part of this ongoing redistricting lawsuit.
Yeah.
The maps that they showed yesterday, of course, had no public hearing.
What?
The Democratic senators hadn't even had a chance to see them before the floor session started. It's like 149 pages. Nobody got a chance to look at it. Nobody read the whole thing. No public input on this. And guess what they did?
What?
They passed it.
Good job.
They did. They passed it.
Let's go home now. Let's.
Everything is fixed.
Pizza's on me.
Everything is fixed. Devin Lemahieu said, if the governor vetoes this bill, if he goes down the road of vetoing, this just shows his true intent of trying to disenfranchise GOP voters around the state and the purely partisan attack that his maps have made on us.
Anytime a GOP member says we're being disenfranchised, I mean, it's the most adorable thing. It's so cute.
Democratic Senator, Senate Minority Leader Dianne Hesselbein said the new maps are pure partisan garbage and that the maps will give some G-incumbents new gerrymandered districts. And I watched part of this hearing yesterday on WISI.org, and I really couldn't even believe what I was watching.
You did a fine impression of him. He's a quiet man.
Devin Lemahieu was surprisingly soft-spoken, yes, at least for... I didn't expect him to be quite that soft spoken, but some of the Democrats even said, you know, this is a GOP incumbent protection bill.
Yeah.
Which is essentially what it does, because they don't like the new maps that would require some members to run against members of their own party. That's called competition, isn't it?
I thought you guys love free markets and competition in America and all that stuff. I mean, Why is it all of a sudden now it's not a good idea?
Because it's not working our way.
It's affecting you.
It's not working our way, and we don't like it.
We're so disenfranchised. It's so cold out here being alone. Shut up.
And you're being mean.
Yeah. You're being mean. Tony Evers is mean to me.
Which when I see Governor Evers, that's the first thing I think of is malice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's just a nothing malicious
but a rage machine coming at you.
844-967-2789. Stephen from Green Bay. Stephen, we got just a couple of minutes left. Thanks for joining us. What did you want to say?
Quick, before I get into what I have to say, I have a nickname for Calvin, I think, that would be good.
Okay.
Go for it.
Ozzy Osbourne.
Huh?
Ozzy Osbourne?
You know, he was on board.
Ozzy Osbourne?
Yeah, Ozzy Osbourne. Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, thanks for calling. Goodbye forever.
What did you want to say, Stephen?
That's my attempt at comedy. I probably should stay at my day job. Anyways, this is what I have to say. I watched the whole State of the State in its entirety. I actually made sure I was home to watch that, and I was watching on PBS. And the camera person for PBS should get like a Tony or something, because as Tony Evers was giving the award, you could see Robin Voss just on top of the TV behind him. And so you could see Robin Voss's stupid face and his stupid looks that he had, and his rolling his eyes and his perching his lips. And shortly after all of that would happen with Robin Voss, you would see Tony Evers smile. And it made me so happy to see our governor out there sticking it to him. And you could see the teenage girl who is Robin Voss rolling his eyes. Mommy, I didn't get what I wanted. And then you have Tony Evers smiling.
I did not.
Joyce, Stephen, tell us how you really feel.
Thank you so much, Stephen. We really appreciate it. And you are a good public servant for watching the whole thing.
And I feel like that Stephen just insulted all little girls everywhere by comparing
that
to Robin.
I think Popcorn King needs a refresher course on how to remain expressionless when you have to listen to things that aren't going your way.
He used to be really good at that. He used to be really good at stone face and just not saying anything, like saying exactly what he needed, and that was it. And moving on. And then you were like, what? He's like, I got stuff to do.
Now he has hurt feelings.
2023 changed him.
Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, this is Aaron from the Todd Allbaugh Show. Just letting you know that on Wednesday, the 24th, Todd will be back with us live in Wausau. So join us then from noon to 2.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican lawmakers are rebuffing Governor Evers' calls for paid family leave and more help for public education and the child care industry. Senate Republican Majority Leader Devin Lemahieu.
The surplus should be returned to the working taxpayers who have given the state government more than their money than is necessary.
Lemahieu delivered the Republican response to Governor Evers' State of the State speech last night. Groups that work with victims of domestic violence and sexual assault are about to lose $30 million in federal funding. A state Senate committee will consider what the state may do this week. Wisconsin ranks number 7 for domestic violence homicides adjusted for population. Domestic violence killings in Wisconsin went up 20% from 2021 to 22. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Chippewa Falls School District's Executive Director of Human Resources and Public Relations has been placed on leave. Superintendent Jeff Holmes made the announcement on Tuesday night as an investigation into Tim Johnson unfolds. Johnson was accused of improperly billing his previous district, the Glenwood City School District, for thousands of dollars of continuing education classes that he never took. Johnson was placed on paid administrative leave by the district pending the investigation. Eau Claire Transit is planning on an expansion of service through a new ride-sharing program. The Pilot Pass program would allow residents to request a ride during low travel times like weekends and after rush hour on weekdays. The intention is to cut down on the number of empty buses driving around the city when fewer people need transportation. The plan is still in the early stages of development, but Eau Claire Transit will be seeking community input on it at some point. It could be implemented in 2025. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
I'm Dr. Jasmine Zapata, Chief Medical Officer for Community Health at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Every year in the U.S., about 21,000 lung cancer deaths are caused by radon, an odorless, tasteless, and colorless gas. One in 10 Wisconsin homes has high levels of radon. Does yours? Call 1-888-LOW-RADON or visit lowradon.org to learn more. Test. Fix. Save a life.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
The Bucks searching for a new head coach. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks are conducting interviews after firing their head coach, Adrian Griffin, yesterday. Just halfway into the regular season, ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski broke the story.
An agonizing decision for this Milwaukee organization. They were very fond of Adrian Griffin. They gave him his first head coaching opportunity, and they made a decision to make the change. They told Adrian Griffin that he's out.
NFL, the Packers are looking for a new defensive coordinator. Joe Barry fired after three seasons. Matt LaFleur issuing a statement this morning saying, quote, Joe is one of the best men I've had the opportunity to work with in this league. College hoops, the Wisconsin Badgers with a 61-59 win over the Gophers in Minnesota. Tyler Wall with 16 points.
I think we started out the game sticking to the game plan pretty well. Not necessarily sloppy, but we didn't have urgency that we needed to on the three-point shooters. But we talked about it in a few of the timeouts, got it straightened out, and at that point it was kind of a dogfight.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Mild temperatures over the current snowpack is creating widespread fog, dense at times, reducing visibility to less than a mile. Patchy freezing drizzle or mist is possible and returns again tonight. Slippery stretches are likely as the chances of freezing rain and rain ramp up into tomorrow. Currently, it's 31 degrees.
The Todd Alba Show.
Matt Flynn, thanks for joining us. As an attorney who's been in a lot of courtrooms, Trump may insist on giving part of his closing oral arguments on this case. I'm not sure if you ever saw the ABC series Boston Legal with William Shatner as Denny Crane. We're approaching Denny Crane territory here.
That's flat out crazy. It's like taking out your own appendage with a Bowie knife and you have no anesthesia. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5, The Tap.
You're trying hard not to show.
Welcome to Matt Nair
here on air. Hello, Richland Center, if you're listening on WRCE or in La Crosse on WLCX. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane Matner, Greg Bach, Sweet Kelsey on the board.
Kelby.
Oh, Kelby. Well, Sweet, yeah, I suppose that's being repetitive.
Yeah. Also, C is not his last name.
It is now. Yeah. We're always taking your comments. You can call, you can text at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Or leave a message if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We're going to switch directions here a little bit, but I did want to catch up on a couple of texts coming in. We're taking your suggestions for nicknames for Calvin, our producer, Cal the Man. From 224, one of the suggestions. Also, another commenter from the 262 says, my tween daughter is more mature than the Popcorn King and would likely be more effective as speaker than Robin Voss is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that
is very sensitive. Robin Voss is very sensitive.
Don't give him a hug. Just give him a hug.
And Tony watching on the live stream, Cutting Edge Cal.
Okay. We'll put it in the hopper.
How about Cutting Edge C? I'm liking the initial.
Honestly, we got two texts from Andrew from Maine. He said, are we going to go get to practice the top five voting process with Cool Hand Calvin's nickname? Maybe Fancy Brian can build the voting feature. Wow, you're just giving Brian work to do into the awesome and affordable Civic Media app.
Nice one, Andrew.
So here's the thing is, I get where you're going from because I think we need to know more about top five voting. That's very good use
and practice rounds would be good.
I think actually that's really cool. We could put so Fancy Brian could put that in the app. We can have a mock election, and we can educate ourselves on top five voting.
On how the process
now
works.
Here's the thing: is for me personally, I don't think there should be a winner. I think we should just have three or four really good ones.
That rotate.
Because you don't want to get sick of it. Like, because eventually I'll get sick of Board Lord.
But that's how the top five voting comes in.
But eventually you have a winner in top five voting.
But we could keep the top five.
There you go.
And
but
rotate
then
the top five.
Maybe top 20 and we vote it. Like, I think we need to get on this. Finally he does send
thanks
us.
Thanks a lot, Andrew. No.
And then he had the same thought I just had. I was just about to say this. Calcium. Because everyone needs more in their day.
Oh, look at that. Not Calvin smiling. That made Calvin smile.
Good job.
That was, thanks a lot, Andrew. Switching gears, and I very sincerely would like to hear from you. If you are or you were a member of the National Rifle Association, it seems to me, and I don't have a gun, and I've talked about this before, and I've never belonged to this organization, but it's my understanding that it has changed considerably from its inception.
Oh, absolutely.
When the NRA began, yes. it was about safety.
Mm-hmm.
Correct? It was an organization you went to if you wanted safety training, if you wanted to get a firearm or a rifle. It was probably about rifles.
It was
originally.
Well, it was incorporated. It was incorporated in 1871, built off of a model that came from England. So there was a National Rifle Association in England as well. They proposed having one in America, and the idea was to have it was about safety, it was about training, it was about accuracy. And one of the reasons why they did this is really funny. One of the reasons they did this is because they found out that during the Civil War, Union Army records said that troops fired 1,000 rifle shots for every Confederate hit.
So they were missing a lot.
Yep. And the first president of the NRA, and I swear to God, this is his name, I'm not making it up, Ambrose Burnside.
Ooh, nice.
He said, out of 10 soldiers who are perfect in drill and in the manual of arms, only one knows the purpose of the sights on his gun or can hit the broadside of a barn. Quote.
So it was about training troops.
It was about training.
Essentially. Well,
it was also about training the people after the war was over, too. So, like, they had a very community patriotic idea that was more about the training rather than what has become today. Which now they refer to themselves as the oldest civil rights organization.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
The reason I ask is because this trial is going on. It started in New York State in 2020. New York civil trial alleges that top officials, including the former president, Wayne LaPierre, essentially used the NRA as their personal piggy bank. And Wayne LaPierre was the head of the NRA for over three decades. Mm-hmm. Conveniently, right before the trial started, he stepped down as the head of the NRA, and now he is claiming health problems. He is 74 years old. But this trial continues to go on, and I can only think that if people understood some of these allegations, they would really be dismayed. Because from what I've seen in this trial so far, there were a couple of people at the top of the NRA who were living a really good life.
Absolutely. I mean, they made like...
And keep in mind, it is a nonprofit organization.
Yep.
It's a nonprofit.
With a revenue reporting in 2018 of over $423 million. So somebody was getting some extra cheese on those Whoppers.
Oh, big time. A lot of alleging of private jets and private vacations and essentially living very lavish lifestyles on the largesse of the NRA, which was not necessarily all on the up and up.
No. No, but now that they're found out, oh no, I've fallen ill.
Well, and what's interesting too, now Oliver North, who is also one of the big members, he testified against Wayne LaPierre yesterday.
Kids, if you don't know who Oliver North is, ask your dad or grandpa.
Yeah, just do a search.
Yeah.
You'll find him.
Yep. Yep. Another man who got to fail his way to the top.
Oliver North?
Yeah. Yeah, so now it's just turning into exactly, like, it's no longer about unity. They're just fighting each other because they want to stay safe.
Scott from St. Louis texting in at 844-967-2789. The NRA changed in 1977.
Mm-hmm.
The revolt of Cincinnati, known as the Cincinnati Coup, a change in the NRA of America leadership and organizational policy. It happened at their 77th annual convention in Cincinnati. The revolt at Cincinnati has been cited as a turning point in the NRA history, making a move from the group's focus on hunting, conservation, and marksmanship instead of defending the right to keep and bear arms. So if you belonged to the NRA before 1977, did you drop out after this change came in 1977?
I bet you a lot of people don't even know at that point because they weren't paying attention. I mean, they have changed in the past 45 years or so, but 50 years. But the real stuff that we see now is like in the past, like 25, since Wayne LaPierre took over.
Pretty much.
And, you know, you have you had NRA TV and you had these really aggressive commercials. And every time there's a school shooting, he gets up there and says, we need more guns. And like, it's disgusting. And as you said, Jane, I would love to know if there's anybody who has actually just left.
I think the number is higher than we think. I think membership numbers for the NRA are down. And I would love to hear from you if you still belong. Maybe you did belong and you are no longer a member of the NRA. Yeah. And if you made that decision, I'd love to know what was the turning point for you. When did you finally have enough?
According to their numbers, they have 5.5 million members.
That's still pretty hefty.
Still pretty hefty. And if it's and honestly, for the NRA, if it's not true, I'd probably say they're padding by a million or two. It's still a lot of people.
It's still a lot. Sure. Absolutely. The lawsuit in New York State accuses the NRA of violating numerous laws, including the false reporting of annual filings with the IRS and the New York's Charities Bureau, improperly documenting expenses. They might have taken some tips from Gableman. Just write it on a slip of paper and turn it in. Improper wage and income tax reporting and excessively paying people for work for which they were not qualified.
Like Gableman. What? I'm sorry.
For almost three decades, Wayne LaPierre was the CEO. According to the complaint, he exploited the organization for his financial benefits and the benefit of a close circle of NRA staff, board members, and vendors. And if you read a little bit more into this, it does sound like there were some questionable things and some questionable arrangements going on behind the scenes to make sure people got paid.
Would you say they were shenanigans?
I would refer to them as in the shenanigan category.
Yeah, very shenanigan-esque.
In the 1970s, according to what Scott texted in too, in the 1970s, and this is according to an article from CNN, the NRA began to lobby against federal firearm restrictions, making them strong allies among conservatives, particularly within the GOP.
That's not before the Mulford Act, though. The Mulford Act in 1967 was passed in response to Black Panthers carrying guns legally in self-defense. So in California, the Mulford Act was passed. And who supported it? Who supported a bill that restricted gun rights? The NRA.
The NRA.
So much for civil rights. So much for consistency. Good job, NRA. Good luck in court.
It will be interesting to see how this plays out again and whether or not anyone is actually held accountable.
Nowadays, like any of these civil court cases, all they do is settle or shake a hand or pay a fine and then say, I didn't do anything wrong. And then they get to walk away. It's like they're fake electors.
One person weighing in this article says it could make sense for the NRA to come to some agreement for LaPierre to step down to distance himself from what might be a guilty verdict. But this is not going to be a corporate death penalty for the NRA. No, it's not.
They got not in trouble, but they were closer to shutting their doors a couple years ago when they just were not doing well with their finances, which probably has to do with this. But, they'll be fine.
Dexter from the 920, and thank you so very much for this. I appreciate it. I used to be a member of the NRA, dropped my membership during President Obama's tenure when the group came out with such anti-American falsehoods against President Obama.
Yeah.
I felt there was a shift at that time to be more political by the NRA. Obviously, it's been happening a long time before that, but I wasn't aware and hadn't been a member for that long before that time. So, yeah, I think as people learn more, maybe become a little bit more cognizant of what's going on, I do think people's attitudes have changed because it is not the same organization that it started out to be.
Yeah, and their past isn't exactly spotless either. So, I heard someone say once, they said, how many people are in the NRA? Like 2-3 million. All right, cool. Let's get 3 million people to join and vote to close the NRA. It's like, that seems like a very logical idea, but I don't know. It's the NRA. They're going to bounce back. They're never going to go away. If they shut down, they'll start up as a new group called American for Guns
or for the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be something like that.
America really makes stuff.
And you found something. What is the motto on their building?
Oh yes, so the motto on their building. People love to say this, they believe in the Second Amendment. They're all about the Second Amendment. They're on the wall of the main part of the lobby that says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That's it. Well, if you know anything about the Second Amendment,
there's a part before that.
There's a whole other half. There's 50% more amendment, which says a well-regulated militia, comma, being necessary to the security of a free state, comma, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. You want to go deeper? We could talk about it getting even worse and darker, but we're not, because we don't have that kind of time. But I'd love to talk about it sometime.
You can always check in with us, call or text at 844-967-2789. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's time to give a hoot. Learn all about the mysterious nighttime birds calling this area home when you join the Beaver Creek Reserve Citizen Science and Education team for a lesson in all things owls. This fun family event is being held at the Brewing Project on North Oxford Avenue in Eau Claire, Wednesday, January 31st. And yes, hooting like an owl will be encouraged. More information on the Chippewa Falls Area Chamber's website, chippewachamber.org. If shopping in support of small businesses is more your thing, you may want to put Saturday, February 3rd on your calendar. The Love of Vendors, Crafters, and Small Businesses Fair happening just in time for Valentine's Day. Stop in anytime at Southview Elementary in Chippewa Falls, again Saturday, February 3rd. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Gonna make a change for once.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the board lord Calvin joining us, coming to you rather live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call or text anytime at 844-967-2789-844-96-PARTY. Leave a comment on the live stream if you like, if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. The New Hampshire primary was yesterday. Really not a big surprise to anyone that the former President Trump won. I believe he beat her by, what, 12 points?
Yeah.
It wasn't the 50 points that I believe he had predicted. It was still a pretty resounding win.
What's funny is that Vivek Ramaswamy got trounced so hard and dropped out. And now people are starting to come around me and I think I like this guy.
Who, Vivek?
Yeah.
Well, it's too late now.
Yeah. I just think it's funny that like he's been here and he's been running his mouth. And now that he's no longer a part of it, they're like, well, you know what? This guy may have a good idea. He could, ooh, VP. It will never happen. Never happen.
Well, it's Nikki Haley says she's happy that she came in second.
Yeah.
Since she's going to keep going to South Carolina, whether or not that's going to serve her well remains to be seen. It's interesting that she waited so long to start criticizing the former president. In the last couple of days, she has.
Yeah.
She's been a lot more vocal about whether or not he is mentally fit to govern again, especially with some of the gaffes that he's been making on the campaign trail. He said he ran against President Obama. He didn't. He called
Nikki Haley Nancy Pelosi. Yeah.
So I've seen at some other clips just in the last couple of days of him making appearances. There's a lot of word salad going on.
I mean, yeah, but I will say this. I think it serves Nikki Haley not to weigh too hard in those waters because as we, you know, if you remember from 2016, Ted Cruz and who was it? Marco Rubio. They really tried to stoop to his level on like the name calling. It never
works.
And with him, like, you know, the old adage, like when they go low, we go high. It only serves you to stay up above because you can't stoop to his level because, I mean,
you're never going to out-obnoxious.
Exactly. Nikki Haley's not an obnoxious person. She might not be someone I don't agree with, but she's a pretty cool, calm, and classy person and probably doesn't like having to run against that buffoon. So for her to try to go to that level, even close, it won't fit her personality. It'll look weird.
Or insincere.
Yeah. I was really disappointed in Marco Rubio when he did it back in 2016. I'm like, that's not who you are. Why are you doing this? You sound like an idiot trying to do a Trump impression. So, I mean, if she's got the money and she's got the backing behind her, go to South Carolina. Do your thing.
That's her home state.
Yep. I mean, if she doesn't win that one,
well, then she's done.
Yeah.
Then she's done.
Yeah.
On the flip side, of course, after receiving some criticism on his victory speech, Donald Trump taking aim at his former White House press secretary, Kayleigh McEnany. She's now a rhino.
Of course.
She suggested that he should moderate his tone a little bit, which he's so good at doing. And he didn't, you know, he loves constructive criticism, as we all do. Quote from Donald Trump, "I don't need any advice from Rhino Kayleigh McEnany on Fox. Just had a giant victory over a badly failing candidate, Bird Brain, and she's telling me what I can do better. Save your advice for Nikki."
See, and that's the other thing, too, is stop suggesting that he be more toned down. If you say that out loud, I have no respect for you as a political pundit, because it'll never happen. He's not going to wake up one morning and go, yeah, I think I'm going to tone it down. Even if I'm lying, I'm going to tone it down. It's not going to happen. Stop. Every time he strings five sentences together in a tone that is magnanimous or respectful, stop saying, is he starting to see the light? It's never going to happen. People have been doing it. Every time there's a teleprompter, he goes, we were here and we won and we're going to stand up for America. Oh my gosh, is this the new Trump? No, it's not. He's just reading.
I agree with you. He can't moderate. He is who he is. And for a large segment of his supporters, that is what they love about him.
Oh my God. Could you imagine what would happen if he got on stage and said, let's give it up for Nikki Haley. She's done a really good job, ran a really tough campaign. But at the end, you know, we came out with more voters, but wish you luck in all the other things you've done. And I look forward to maybe having you on the campaign trail as someone who endorses me. Thanks a lot, Nikki. We love you.
What's the prediction, though? Because everyone else who criticized him before, they're all on the train now. Tim Scott, complete reversal.
Yes, yes.
Everybody, complete reversal. Oh, now he's great. He's our best hope. We love him. We love him. What are the odds that Nikki Haley's going to do the same thing if she loses in South Carolina?
The question
is, she going to just flip around and say, well, he's the best choice?
I think if she wants a life in politics beyond this.
Because she's young. She's only 51.
I know. And that, and the thing is, like, does she lambast him and say, no, to hell with that guy. I'm not doing a single thing for him. Does that sort of vitriol outlast Trump's relevance? Can she say in like 5 years run for governor or try running for president again? And then the Trumpers are kind of really in the background. They're really off to the side and she is kind of like free forming. Or does she kiss the ring to save herself so she can run sooner? I mean, those are the questions. I want to see her just give him a big old like middle finger in words.
Sure.
But I mean, Ted Cruz, J.D. Vance, Marco Rubio,
Lindsey Graham. I mean, the list goes on and on and on.
They're politicians. They're national spotlight politicians. These are the elite. They have no scruples. They have no morals when it comes to this kind of stuff. Nothing, honestly, she could do would surprise me, honestly, at this point.
And a lot will depend upon, we're hearing it all the time, that it is the party of Trump now. There is no more Republican Party. It is the party of Trump.
Yeah.
And even MTG said yesterday that if you don't get on the MAGA agenda, we are going to eradicate you from the Republican Party. So,
she loves using them big words.
Interesting days going forward. All right, news is coming up next. And when we return, we're going to talk animals at the Milwaukee County Zoo.
You're so excited.
I am excited. Jenny Deliberti is going to be joining us. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For the Love of Democracy Tour 2024 continues, thanks to our fine sponsor, Chance Design Build. Trudy lands in Las Vegas for the Nevada presidential primary, a competing GOP caucus, and all the build-up to Super Bowl 58. Tune in for special events broadcast live from the Vegas Strip. From the Nevada primary Tuesday, February 6th through Super Bowl Friday, Trudy brings you on-the-ground coverage from a swing state that helped Joe Biden win the presidency.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News brief after Trump wins in